Blog Talk Radio.
Man.
In a world of fake everything, one thing that's hard to find is real Christian people. They're out there, and we just happen to know a few. Sit back, relax, as I, Redward Slew, interview Christians just like us.
I got a special intro for our guest tonight, so I'm going to play it and then bring him in. Here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Christians Just Like Us. This is your host, Redward Slew, and tonight we have a special guest all the way from Ohio.
Such is life in Ohio. That's great, man. That was funny.
Life is so exciting up there.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you, man, for having me on the air, on your radio. I mean, what a blessing.
Yeah, it's a blessing to have you. It really is. Oh, my computer's making sounds. Anyways, yeah, no. Hey, you're very welcome. You know, obviously, you know, we talk a lot with friends and everything like that, but hey man, you have a testimony just like every other person has a testimony, and just figured your testimony would be a good one to get out there. So I wanted to interview you.
All right. This should be great. So you're going to get inside that of Robbie Rob.
Yeah.
Well, that should be fun. I don't mind doing it, you know.
Well,
I just want you to know that, you know, I think you've been on the air for, what, 3 months now, maybe? 2 months? And you're growing really fast. You're growing really fast, dude. That's a testimony that the Holy Ghost is behind you. I just want you to know that.
Well, okay. I'm just doing what God's telling me to do, and I'm thankful that it's growing, you know, it's kind of hard to look at barren land knowing that you put seed out there and it's not growing. You just start scratching your head like, what's going on here? You know, am I doing something wrong?
No, well, here's what's great, Lou. Here's what's great. We all went into the mentality that we're going to do God's work and we'll do it for one.
Yep.
I don't get on the radio 4-5 times a week, 6 times a week for the masses.
Amen.
I get on for one sheep that needs to be brought into the fold. That's our job.
Yeah.
And I don't look at numbers, man. And we don't look at numbers. We look at our heart's intent and we run. And you know what? Running
exactly.
Good. And you're a runner, man. That's why I love being on your show. You're a runner.
No, I'm not. I may have some old sneakers and, you know, rips in them and duct tape around the front, but I'm running, man. I'm running until I can't run anymore.
Hey, I got to know this, dude. I got to know this just from a Robbie Rob take.
Yeah.
Because I do listen to your morning show. Are you finally out of Deuteronomy?
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. What are you at? First Chronicles now?
Yeah, I'm at actually Samuel. First Samuel.
Okay. All right, I'll listen to Samuel. When you get to First Chronicles, I'm going to go deaf again because I know the first like 6 chapters of First Chronicles is nothing but names, and it's like, oh, good luck, man.
Yeah, I'm not too good with the names. I make my own population up when I start speaking names, you know?
No, I feel you. But I got some revelation out of First Chronicles, and I actually did that on Transfiguration Day channel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I called it the Chronic.
The Chronic, yeah. Yeah.
I got some chronic revelation out of First Chronicles and Second Chronicles, and I did a YouTube video on that, and maybe I'll cover that on radio someday. I don't know. But praise God, I'm just glad to be here, man. How you been this week, man? You been good?
Me? I'm doing well, you know. I had my little hiccups, you know, battling like everyone battles in the spirit, and you know, overcame, and we're just pressing on, that's for sure. And so things are going good. Things are as good as I don't know. They're going okay, you know. There's always hiccups in the road, but that's okay. I can deal, you know. What about you?
Me? Well, like, I was driving to work this morning, and I actually sent you a picture from my phone.
Yeah. Dairy Queen in the snowstorm.
It was a bad one too, man. I finally got to, I'm like, I can't believe these idiots haven't turned around and sent me home yet. I mean, they're going to make me drive in this. I'm going to kill somebody with a truck. I'm still in my personal car. So I get the text, hey man, turn around, go home. We ain't doing this today. Yeah. I was, well, man, you want to talk about getting into praise, man. I was praising God for it, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's risky. I mean, for people that don't know, that aren't listening, you drive a truck for a living. You know, and you don't drive a little box truck or whatever. You're driving a big rig, an 18-wheeler, right?
Yeah, it kill people if you can't stop it, you know, and you get 80,000 pounds on your back. Good luck. You know, when people are stopping on a dime and you can't in snow, it's a bad minute. But yeah, so it all worked out.
Hey, I don't know if you've ever seen that. I don't know where it is, but I used to watch it. It's called Highway Through Hell, and it's about up in Alaska or Canada. This certain pass there is, and all the trucks, they had a towing company that would always go up and, you know, correct the trucks. They'd be over on their side. They'd be, what a headache, man. What a disaster. So, you know, and plus the people that don't really know how to speak English, they won't chain up when the signs say chain up, you know. So then they're trying to do it on the side of the road when other guys are trying to get up the hill. And it just looks like a headache. It really does.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's all good. I wanted to, you know, before I get into my testimony just a little bit.
Okay.
I heard something very interesting today that I think would have value to listeners.
What was
that? You remember the book of Job?
Job, yep.
And where he's talking about, where God is talking about Leviathan.
Leviathan, yeah.
In the deep. I believe it's chapter 39. It's between 39 and 41. I'd like to actually nail that down before we discuss this any farther, because this I found extremely intriguing when it comes to the Word of God.
Well, a second. Let me see if I can
Let's Google Job Leviathan. You should do it.
Well, I got the book of Job here. You said, what did you say, 35?
I'm thinking 39. My spirit's saying 39, but
39. All right, we'll just give it a quick.
There it is. I got it. Go ahead.
The wild ass free.
It's 41.
Oh, okay. Well, Job
41. 41. Read it real quick. Read 41, 1 through 8, real quick, and I'll get into this mystery that came out of the Science Channel.
Okay.
On Normal TV.
Sounds good. All right, so Job 41. We'll start with 1. We'll go through 8. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, and his tongue with a cord which thou leathest down? Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make supplication unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him for a servant forever? Will thou play with him as with a bird? Or will thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Can thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hands upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. So that was 8.
Right, and if you continue to read, it says smoke comes out of his nostrils and fires in his breath. If you just keep reading, you'll get more of this dude. This dude was a bad minute.
Right, Leviathan was a bad dude.
All right, now check this out, Lou.
Yeah.
So I don't watch a whole lot of TV, man. I hate it, to be honest with you. I don't know where you stand on it. I mean, I just don't like watching a whole lot of TV. But when the Lord says, watch the idiot tube, I'm watching it.
I can't watch it that long. It makes me shake my head, and I go, I got better things to do. Like, I'm going to go read my Bible or something.
Right. Here's something that's interesting. And all these clowns will sit and say God's word's not true. And basically, if you read Leviathan in 41, if you continue to read past 8, you're going to realize this is a dragon. And we're talking Chinese culture. And you can see how it's lambasted all through Chinese culture. In any case, check this out. So I'm watching BBC America, which is British Broadcasting Communications or whatever they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's called The Blue Earth, which means it's all about the ocean. So we had this whale planet. Yeah, Blue Planet. That's what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah,
it shows you I don't watch a whole lot of TV. Well, this whale that was the size of, I don't know, it was 50 feet long.
Big.
Yeah. Weighed 200 ton. That's 400,000 pounds. It died. And it went to the deep, and they recorded this. And you watched sharks eat their flesh off. And then when the sharks were full, they left. Then you watched other animals come and eat the rest of the flesh all the way to the bone. And there was nothing left but a skeleton, right?
Right. And microorganisms probably ate the bones.
No, they're called zombie worms. Dig into the bone and eat the marrow.
Right. Okay.
And within 5 years, there's no skeleton left of that whale.
Wow.
So you sit and ask, why have we never seen a skeleton of a Leviathan? Because the ocean is perfect.
Yeah.
And the only thing left is sand. And you know that sand you work in your feet?
Yeah.
You just might be working that Leviathan bones right between your feet, because it creates
possibility.
There's that in a nutshell. All right. And anyway, we'll get into my testimony, man. Let's get into me. I just want to give a little bit of insight ahead.
Let me just read here, because I found it. Job 41:18. By his nestings the light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes out of his mouth. Woo! I don't know, man.
I do not want to hook this thing on a fishing pole, dude. That's a bad minute.
Nah, that's a bad fishing show right there, man. You know? It really is. But anyway,
now here's the big question that every believer has: do they still exist?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, we haven't.
Know?
Hey, all I know is what we've been to the lowest point in the ocean and some special submarine for a couple of minutes or something, but no one's really explored the greater depths of the ocean. So who knows? Who knows? You know, I'm sure there's some monstrosities down there that we just don't want to deal with. You know, look at the fish that are down there at those depths. They're crazy. They got light bulbs hanging off their forehead. And
Well, and, you know, here's the thing. When you take into perspective of the deep blue, which we'll call the ocean, mankind has only explored 3% of it.
Sounds about right.
And you know what? We know more, apparently, allegedly. We know more about space than we do about our own oceans. Allegedly. And I'd still think that they're both in the 3% range.
Yeah, there's no way we know everything about anything, you know? People will search forever and they'll never get the answers, you know?
The one thing I wanted to let everybody know is you're not going to get fossil evidence coming out of the oceans. It's not going to happen. There's too many creatures out there that God has ordained to make sure there's no waste.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean God's word's not true. It just means that there's zombie worms out there that's eating bones, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Well, whatever. If I'm dead, they can eat my bones. I don't care. Whatever.
Well, no. Well, the point is like nobody knows there's a zombie worm out there that feeds on the bottom of the ocean so deep, but they recorded it and it ate this whale's bones. It was nothing but dust. And it took less than 5 years. Less than 5 years. Interesting nonetheless, right?
Yeah, I mean, you look at people are into, you know, bone broth, and bone broth is really nutritional for you as a human being. The marrow is a wonderful source of protein and nutrients. And so why wouldn't a worm want to dig in and get into that marrow?
Yeah. Go figure. It's called a zombie worm, right?
Zombie worm. They probably just made it in the last 10 years, called it a zombie worm, you know?
just to make sure it freaked you out, you know?
Yeah. We got to get it up, you know, like in 2010 to 19 or whatever. We got to make it a zombie. Everything's a zombie, you know? I'm waiting for some flesh-eating virus to be. It's the zombie virus, you know? We got to put fear and instill fear in everybody, you know?
Yeah, kind of like fear porn, you know? Yeah, you got the Walking Dead, you know. Yeah, that whale's not Walking Dead anymore. The zombie worm got him.
Yeah,
but,
got him. Hey, food chain. Everything is there, you know, takes care of its own, cleans everything up, and the cycle of life goes on. So,
all right.
Anyways, let's get into your testimony a little bit. And
all right, me being a radio dude, when are you taking your first break? When are you taking your first break? Are you going to take it at the bottom of the hour, at the 30 mark, or what?
No, I was just going to go for, you know, whatever, 40 minutes, an hour, and then end the show. I mean, if you want a break, I'll give you a break.
It's up to you. I mean, it's your show, dude. I just didn't want to get into a story and then...
No. I'm not...
I'm taking a break.
Not for a testimony or whatever. I mean, you know, when the Spirit of God's moving, you don't want to be like, hey, stop. We're going to go for a break. You know, if God's moving and you're talking than you're talking. You know, the show is as short or as long as we want it to be. You know, I know you have your show that you're going to be doing tonight at 9 o'clock, so I don't want to hold you too long. I want you to be able to go and prepare. So, you know, we'll just do what we got to do, get your testimony out there, call it a wrap, and then off you go to your show.
All right. Well, here you go. You know, you want an insight to Robbie Rob.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I'll give you,
you know,
some insight. I'll give you some insight.
Yeah, give me some insight. Did you grow up going to church or anything?
No.
Okay.
I was
what
born
happened
a
back
poor,
then?
I was born a poor white child.
Steve Martin, right? I was born a poor, poor black child.
Right. And I had a dog matured head. I think I was a reflection of that movie, you know.
All right, so you were born a poor white child. There you go.
And I was no, but I mean, in all honesty, I was.
Okay.
Interesting enough. So this Baptist bus was picking up a friend of mine down the road at 7 years old.
Okay.
I interrupted and I go, you know, because I got all kinds of stones.
Mm-hmm.
I said, where are you going, bro? He goes, I'm going to church, man. It was a Baptist bus. You ain't allowed to go to church without me. He goes, then get on. Without my mother's consent, she's still in bed, Sunday morning, 7 years old, I climb on this bus and I go. I'm baptized that day. Mom's freaking out, wondering where I'm at. Here I'm getting baptized. I'm getting baptized in water. I come back preaching the gospel like I am now, you know. It was a bad minute.
Oh, hey, actually, bad minute. Good
yeah,
minute.
I think I actually got spanked for that one.
Yeah.
Which was nothing new.
I'm thinking something would happen like that, you know.
Which it was nothing new to me. If I wasn't getting spanked, I wasn't being me, you know.
Right, exactly. Well, exactly.
The next week after, me and my sister both went, then she got baptized, and she was a year older than me, so she was eight. Then Mom really got furious, and she had no answer for God. And then the bus never came anymore, and I don't understand why. I don't know if the church shut down, but it was those two moments. It wasn't like we went for a year. It was those two times, and that's it.
Now, did your mom know that the Baptist bus or whatever was picking you up? You know, do you think she called and told him, hey, you know, you better knock it off or anything like that?
It's possible. I can't verify or deny that. But even the dude down the road didn't go anymore.
Wow.
So I don't know. It was almost like, I almost labeled it like an angel bus.
Yeah. I was just thinking that.
You know, just to get me there, get me baptized, and I'm good. At least to set some time or some kind of foundation of God in me.
Right.
Because I was a hellion, dude. I ain't going to lie to you. Look, man, with you guys, I don't expect everybody to walk my walk.
Right.
But I get results in God because I believe what he says.
Amen.
And I want to make this clear. He is a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper, a light in the darkness. And he's my God, and he'll say exactly who he is to us if we'll listen.
Right.
But that's where it started. So get this, Red.
Yeah.
So I'm a baseball fanatic, right? As a kid, 7 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm damn good at baseball. That's one thing I can do. I can throw a baseball, and I can throw it hard. Some baseball nut. Right after this happened, baseball season started, and I kind of forgot about it, even at 7. But I was playing with the big boys at 7 years old. I was playing third base softball. And they're
what's
playing
that, like,
hard.
JV or something? I'm not into baseball.
No, I'm talking softball.
I got
recruited to a softball team. I'm a kid, 8 years old. I think I was 8 when that happened.
With Joe's bar on the back now.
Yeah, exactly. And they're smashing this ball to third base, and I'm eating it up and throwing them out, and because I had a rocket arm, and I pitched in hardball and the whole 9 yards. In any case, so the end of my summer, I think it was about my 8th. I think I was 8 years old. I had a rapture dream.
Okay.
And this was a year after being picked up the summer prior to being baptized in water.
Mm-hmm.
And I started flying. I started running on the road, and all of a sudden I felt God grab me and start pulling me up to him, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm flying. And I didn't know nothing about rapture then. I didn't read anything about the word. This was a dream. And then he slowly let me back down again. I started running again, and I started crying. I started bawling that he didn't take me. Now I'm 8 years old. I'm 50 now.
Right.
And it haunted me. And it bothered me that I wasn't taken. And I knew other people were. And this was in the dream.
Okay.
Then I started seeking. At 8 years old. This is where I started my walk. I didn't know what I was walking towards. I knew I met God when I was 7 and I got baptized.
Right.
I knew I had to get out of this house. It took a better part of, I'd say 5 or 6 years later, where I finally got a hold of my dad in Ohio, and I lived in New York.
Okay.
I was told my whole life that my dad died in Vietnam. So I was lied to.
Right, right.
Once I finally get in contact with my dad, he says, come for the summer. I come, and I find out that he had a near-death experience, and he met Jesus face-to-face.
Wow.
And we can get into that nugget later.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the things that he told me about what Jesus said, about what he experienced in heaven, and how he got kicked out of heaven and said, you're not ready yet, because my dad was a heathen when he had it.
Okay.
He didn't qualify. But he got to taste, or at least see, that there's a life after death.
All right.
And Jesus says, you got to go. I'm kicking you out. And dad's kicking and screaming. He don't want to go. And the Lord told him, you got to get your house in order. That was the last thing he heard. And I can get into deeper stuff. I don't think the Holy Ghost wants me to get into that right now. But when he got back, he considered his house to be in order as his kids from his first marriage.
Okay.
He's got to get custody of his kids, me and Amy, which is my sister, and then Jesus to take him home. Get all of his bills paid, Jesus to take him home. He wants to go home. This dude wants to go home. So I meet him. He's giving me all this stuff. I eventually come to live with him at 15.
Okay.
And he's a religious zealot. He told me the end of the world's coming tomorrow. And it was just him growing.
Right.
But God was fear-based. And I said, Lord, if you're fear-based, I don't want no part of this.
Right.
I mean, I was the man of the house at 14 years old. I was the man of my house in New York. And I knew when I came, I had to be subordinate to him. Because he'd beat the dog snot out of me if I didn't. But I needed it.
Right.
I never had that structure. You got to understand that. I was the worst kid. If you can imagine. I was Dennis the Menace times 10, dude. It was just the most horrible thing in the world.
You were worse than Eddie Haskell there, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's like, I felt so bad for my mom, dude. She had no control over me, dude, you know.
Yeah, same here. I'm laughing because I just know. I can just imagine from my testimony. So, carry on, sir.
Well, look, man, here's what I got. I listen to the Holy Ghost very well. I'm going to stay on with you.
Okay.
Until about 15 minutes to 9, if you're willing. But go ahead and take a break. Play a song that you want. Go ahead and take a good 5-minute break. And let's take a break, and then we'll get back to this. Because I want to say exactly what the Holy Ghost wants.
Okay.
And it's good to, because I don't want to step on toes and hurt feelings either. So, in Jesus' name. So, we'll be right back. Go ahead, Luke.
Yeah. All right, let me find something here. We're going to take a break. And how about, I'll give you 4 minutes. How's that? Why don't we play some I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me. So
that's a good one.
Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine. We'll be back in 4 minutes. There we go.
only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Amen. I can only imagine what heaven's going to be like. Amen. So
that's
we
a good,
took ourselves
that's a good tune, man. That's a good tune, dude.
I love Mercy Me. Mercy Me, Casting Crowns. I don't know. They're sort of like those go-to bands sometimes. You just put it on and you're like, hey, that's all right, man.
Well, I'm seeking the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
And I think what the Holy Ghost really wants to dive into for the next hour or so is not the baptism of water that happened at 7 years old.
Okay.
Or about the rapture dream that happened at 8, where I was left behind. Because I was left behind.
Mm-hmm.
But about the baptism of power and the things that I've seen prior or afterwards. I mean, the testimony that I have to this day at 50 years old to where God's word's true and every man's a liar.
Right.
And I want to, and I was really seeking God on this because I don't want to drain an hour worth of testimony getting me to the power.
Okay.
Because without the power of God, you're kind of helpless, guys.
I agree.
So how did the power come? I think that's more important than how I got to the power. And I'm skipping years, dude. And a lot of testimony, and you can hear it later. Luke can have me on later, and we'll get into that stuff. But the main thing is, when did power start, Rob? When did the Holy Ghost start moving, Rob, to where you became this New Yorker, this heathen? And you started seeing God change other people's lives, not just yours. I want to get you guys there.
Let's do it.
The other part prior to that is, like, to me, it's like, it's the whale getting eaten by a bunch of sharks and what other creature, and the zombie comes and takes the bones away. Because we're born again.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so check this out. So for the next 10 years after my baptism of water, 9 years past my rapture dream that freaked me out, nobody around me can explain it. My mom wanted nothing to do with church. 17 years. I was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad said this, and he's doing, you know, end of the world's coming tomorrow, and the New World Order was getting thrown out by George W. Bush, and he was freaking out.
Okay.
He goes, coming to Bible study tonight. It was a Saturday. And I went, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going. So he drags me. He didn't drag me. I went willingly. Let the dogs chill out for a second.
Oh,
I love having family in. I love having family in.
You know what? They're a quarter of a mile away, and because my wife's coming home, they're barking at the. You know what? I'll mute myself for a little while till they calm down. How about that?
Yeah, you don't have to do that, man. I love me some animals, man.
All right. Well,
actually,
if you don't mind,
just so you know, let's do this. Just so you know, my dad's testimony.
Okay.
He says, love your pets when you got them here.
Amen.
Because he died and went to heaven. And he said all of his past pets that were there waiting for him when he passed over the first time.
Praise God.
And they loved him and they thanked him for the way that he treated them. And when he got kicked out of heaven, they said, "Don't worry, we'll be here waiting for you." And they called him Dad.
Wow.
That's from my dad's testimony. Anyway, so, all right, so Dad convinced me to go to this Bible study. I was not reluctant. I wanted to know if God was real or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, when I was 7, I had baptism that was a total life changer. And I had this rapture dream a year later that freaked me out, and nobody could explain it.
Right.
So I go to the Bible, and it's totally different than what I've ever seen when it comes to God. They worshiped God. They were praying for sickness, for other people that wasn't there, the whole nine yards. And then it came to me. And, dude, I'm going to tell you this, man. Listeners, I'm going to tell you this. Power of God was in this room, this little Bible study of 15 people. I couldn't stand it. The Holy Ghost, when he entered, I wanted to run because I was so unworthy.
Right.
I wanted to run away. And they asked.
Sorry.
They asked me. That's all right. You muted me instead of somebody else. That's all right. Don't worry about the dogs, man. The dogs are good. Don't even stress.
All right. Only be a minute.
Yeah, I ain't worried about the animal. Praise God for dogs, man.
All right.
So they asked me if I wanted to get saved because I was bawling my eyes out. The Holy Ghost showed up in this room. And I said, yeah. You're talking 17 years old, right?
Yeah.
I'm expecting them to baptize me in water again. All of them dropped their paws on me. All their hands hit my forehead. I mean, I felt like 30 hands hitting my forehead. And they go into this unknown language that I had no recollection of. I didn't know what that was.
Right.
They were speaking in tongues, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost hit me that day.
Man.
And it was a game changer, dude.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I spoke in tongues instantly. Now, look, Scotty, Shauna, everybody has different testimonies, and you guys may as well. I'm not beating you up if you didn't get the gift of tongues right when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I got it right away. Here's what was crazy. My aunt was the leader of this clan.
Yeah.
At first, I called it a cult. I'm being honest, man. You want me to be honest?
Yeah, no.
I'm being honest. I'm like, man, I can't believe this. This is nuts, man. And then these words started pouring out of my heart. And she interpreted every word.
Really? Wow.
And told me exactly what I said to God. And everything that I said was on point. So my first gift of the Holy Ghost after this instance, anybody who would speak in tongues, I could hear what they were saying. What they were saying to God.
Right. Interpretation.
And it started creeping people out. Interpretation of tongues. They'd go into tongues and I'd say exactly what they were praying for. And they'd sit and bawl at me and they go, "What do you mean?" I go, "God's hearing you. I'm giving you a confirmation."
Yeah.
So that was the first gift of the Holy Ghost that I ever got. The next one that creeped me out, and God's creeped me out. I mean, he creeped me out 1,000 times, so we can be on here for 3 hours, but the next one. The next one was was prophecy to where it was probably about 2 years later I started operating in the prophetic, and I didn't really understand it. Dad came up to me one night and goes, I was just talking to my sister, which is Andrea, which is the one that interpreted my tongues. I didn't go to a Bible study for a couple of weeks. You know, I don't want to let that slide. But I was doing God's word. She goes, he's a prophet. He's going to hear what God has in store for other people. Dad heard that from my aunt, so he just took it to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes up to me and goes, hey, and he goes, you know, what's going on with this here? Pray about this. He wanted me to start praying about it. I go, Dad, I don't want to pray about that. I'm 18. I don't need to pray about that. I go, I don't understand that. He goes, pray about it. And he was adamant. So I did. I started seeking God. I go, all right, Lord, you know, I don't know why he's making me seek out about this certain job. This is crazy. As soon as I started doing it, I heard the Holy Ghost say, hey, man, that job's going down in 6 months. So I went to Dad. I said, hey, man, I don't know what company you're talking about or what job you're talking about. I go, but they're bankrupt in 6 months. That's what I heard. He goes, thanks. Dad walked away.
Jesus.
And he didn't respond like he was, it was just, thank you. All right, thanks. And Dad had no vested interest in this company. I don't even know why this company was brought up, but the company fell 6 months later. Exactly 6 months later. So now Dad has verification that I operate in the prophetic. So now I became his little tool. Because he didn't operate in the prophetic, so now I'm his little punch monkey that he throws in his pouch that he carries around. And he started doing Bible studies. He was an ordained minister, and I was his little punch monkey. When he needed God to move, he'd pull me out of the basket or the pouch and use me, right?
Yeah.
So this went on for about 2 years. I was an understudy. And then Dad had to disappear for 2 weeks. He had to leave town. He had a Bible study set up. So the person calls my dad's house. I'm still living at home. I answer the phone. He goes, hey, is your dad going to cover Bible study tomorrow night? I go, Dad's out of town. That ain't happening. And they go, will you come and do it? I went, sure. No problem. So I go there, and there's like six people at this Bible study, right?
Yeah.
Holy Ghost drops. As soon as I walk in, Holy Ghost just dropped. No teaching, no nothing, just gifts, man. Just gifts were pouring out. All six people that were there got personal prophetic words in their lives of things that nobody else knew. There's no way I knew. Only Jesus would have known.
Right.
They got answers to what they were fighting against. So a week later, dude called, because my dad's gone 2 weeks. Dude calls back. He goes, Rob. And I go, yeah. He goes, you coming back? I go, yeah, Dad's not back yet. So, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. Whatever. You know, I didn't think nothing. I went there. There was like 25 people there.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Well, get this. So I'm just getting ready to start ministering. The Holy Ghost is dropping. Dad walks in.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost left.
Hmm.
And he started teaching. And he was amazed that there was 25 people there instead of six.
Right.
And then after he got done teaching for an hour and a half, which was totally outside of what the Holy Ghost wanted, I'm a punch monkey again. Now let God's power work. And I go, it don't work this way. I got up and walked out.
Huh.
Bible study died the next week. It ended. Dad was there teaching himself. And I'm not judging my dad.
No, but it seems like he was a hindrance to the Spirit of God moving, you know? Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, the Holy Ghost cannot be... Look, man, I'm going to tell you this. Friends, family, in the Spirit of God. One's anointed in your family, husband and wife, and one's not.
Mm-hmm.
You got to let the Holy Ghost roll.
Right.
There's no respecter of persons in God.
Exactly.
If the anointing's on you, it's on you. And when it hits you, even if it's your dad, you rebuke him and tell him to shut up. That's one thing I didn't do.
Right.
And 26 people didn't get blessed that night. Because I didn't have the stones to tell my dad to shut up. You're out of the Holy Ghost. You're in your own flesh to get recognized.
Right.
I mean, Lou, when we say we do this for one, do we mean it?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I know you do. But, you know, if it's one person in a whole lifetime, then it's worth every hour we labor. You know, and I don't even consider it labor, to tell you the truth. But, yeah, for one soul, you know, that's all.
So what does Satan do?
Well,
that
Satan
little snake. That little snake called Satan. You know what he does?
Yeah.
He makes you look at Benny Hinn, Billy Graham, Kenneth Copeland.
Right.
That ain't why I do it.
Yeah, if you really had the power of God, you'd have all the masses around you. Yeah, yeah.
Right, Lou, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to tell your listeners, Robbie Robb style, you do it for one. For that one sheep that's out there that's lost, you do it for that one. You let the masses do them.
Hallelujah.
It's worth it. And God will praise you for that one more than he will for the masses. Trust me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I just get so frustrated with people who want to get in ministry and they don't understand it's all about one. When Jesus said he'd leave the whole block for one, Lou,
mm-hmm.
I realized that's got to be my mentality.
Right. A shepherd would leave the whole flock for that one sheep that goes astray, right? I mean, same thing.
I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be like Billy Graham. I don't want to be like Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland.
Praise
I want
God.
To be like Jesus, right?
Yeah, well, that's the model that we have. Yeah, I would hope that would be the ambition, you know? Yeah, that it actually, those people are a big turnoff to me. I just don't know why. It's always made my stomach turn. And even what's his name there, the guy with all the teeth in his mouth there, Joel Osteen, you know, with it just doesn't sit well in my spirit to see a stadium full of people when I don't see the Holy Ghost moving, you know?
Right. Well, you know what's interesting? The body of Christ isn't one preacher preaching to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
The body of Christ is 5 billion people doing one-on-one ministry, doing small acts of kindness. revealing the personality of the Holy Ghost that lives in us. You want to spread the Holy Ghost quicker? Do it for one.
Mm-hmm.
Let the masses click glasses. I call that. Let the masses click glasses. Let them think they're holy. They don't know what holiness is unless you're walking in absolute obedience of the Holy Ghost. And look, you might have a divine appointment that's got you in a supermarket, and all you got to do is grab a can of green beans off the top shelf for somebody that's 5 foot tall.
Yep. Absolutely.
And you can change that person's heart.
I've seen it.
We're not after... Lou, do you do this for saved people? No.
No.
They're going to heaven.
No.
I'm not trying to entertain you, bro.
I'm a piss poor entertainer, to tell you the truth. So.
Yeah, so am I. I don't. You know, I'm not a great entertainer. I'm not here to entertain the. I'm not here to entertain those going to heaven. I'm here to get that one that needs to hear the truth.
Right.
And look, man, the body of Christ don't like me, Lou.
Well, you bring conviction, man. You know? That's, you know? The conviction of the Holy Ghost is all over you when you speak. And people don't like to be convicted by the Holy Ghost. They want to feel all warm and fuzzy and everything like that. But, you know, to feel convicted, ooh, I got to change. Oh, this isn't of God. Yeah. We're going to run from this. We're going to go somewhere else where we get pet like a dog, you know? Oh, sit there. Oh, you're a good tither. Oh, praise Jesus. Yeah. I don't know. Back to you.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, here's something that's funny. So the Holy Ghost goes, you're going to prophetic school. So I go to this prophet school.
Mm-hmm.
About a year. Got to travel up and down the East Coast, give prophetic words, some great miracles. I got ordained. Now I'm an ordained minister, right?
Mm-hmm.
Legitimately. Churches say, I want you to be the pastor. And I'll go, it's not my call. Couldn't handle me as a pastor. I'll give you stories on what happened with the church, because I did get into church for a little bit and then the Lord pulled me out. But one thing I want to stress, because we're going to need to go to break again. So get another song ready, Lou. Get another song ready. You know my format. This is why I take breaks. The reason why I take breaks is because I always want to seek the Holy Ghost to make sure that I'm in what He wants and I don't want to get into my own self. But I want you guys to understand something very important. If you're in the public eye, and I don't care if it's a radio station like Lou's doing, or like Robbie Robb's doing, or if it's Joel Osteen or Kenneth Copeland, we're responsible for how we teach. I'm going to say this. From my heart. I'm on radio for one. If it brings 10,000 home, praise be to the Most High God, but I don't need to be glorified. I already know that I'm a worm. I already know that I sin. I already know that the only reason why I'm redeemed is because of the King. I'm not holier than you. I'm just a little bit more obedient than you are.
Right.
Praise be to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
His mercy endures forever, man. I just want people to come home. All right, Lou, run your song, man. I need a break.
All right, we'll take a break here for about 5 minutes. We're going to do a song by Scotty E. from Raining Redemption. It is called Blessed to Be. So a little bit of Scotty E. Give him some love. Go over the Raining Redemption channel there or patreon.com/Scotty E. Listen to his music. But here is Blessed to Be. And we'll be back. Wait a second. I'm sorry, a distant return. 5 minutes. We'll be back. In Jesus' name. Amen. Here we are. Back to the second part of our show, Christians Just Like Us. We have our special guest, Robbie Robb, from the TDC Radio Network. He's on with us. He's giving us his testimony. He's speaking from his heart. And we're going to keep on going here until he has to check out and get ready for his show. So, Robbie, are you back with us?
I am. All right, so here's the thing. I'll take you all the way to 20 minutes to the hour, and then I'm going to have to go to the show ready.
That's fine.
I sought God on this. I sought God on this. In this break. This is why breaks are so important, because I want to stay on point.
Right.
I want to get into the things that the Holy Ghost has done through me, yet I get no credit for.
Okay.
I want to tell every listener, I'm nothing more. I'm no better than you are. But if I can testify to tell you what the body of Christ is capable of, why are you sitting on your hands? Why are you in unbelief? Because that's the only reason why you're not getting it. Now listen to me. Hebrews 11:1. Read, please find Hebrews 11:1 while I talk. The Holy Ghost just brought that up.
Hebrews.
Now look. Yeah, right. Go ahead and see it, and I'll talk while you go find it. But I want to tell you this. Here's what I have not seen. I'm going to tell you what I have not seen. I have not raised the dead yet. And I have not yet. And I have not caused the blind to see. Other than that, I've seen it all. And I'm not bragging. And I'm just giving you what Hebrews 11:1 says. What does Hebrews 11:1 say?
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
So get this, guys, all you listeners out there. Faith is a substance. It's Plato.
Mm-hmm.
Take it as Plato. Take it as the word says this. Red, the word says this. The word says that we're all given the same measure of faith.
Mm-hmm.
What makes me any different than Joe Blow out there?
Your desire.
My will to be obedient.
Right.
He said I would have obedience and not sacrifice. When you're in obedience, the gifts will flow through you.
Mm-hmm.
Like a monsoon. When you have a heart of obedience. Now look, you guys can look up the nine gifts of the Spirit. The gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of healing, the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues. You can go do that yourself. I'm telling you how I roll. I have no heart for the masses. Have I seen the lame walk? Yes, I have. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I have.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make me any special or anything greater. Doesn't make me Kenneth Copeland. I'm after one. And I want everybody's spiritual mentality to be, Lord, use me for one.
Right.
And look, you're going to be tested. How about casting out demons? Oh, yeah. That was fun. And you watch demons beg for mercy from the power that's within you. But here's the thing, guys. I'm going to give you a forewarning. You get somebody possessed and you don't have the mentality, I'm doing it for one, for the body. Guess what happens? Get self-righteous. That demon gets threats, and he's coming on you.
Yeah, makes sense.
There's no self-righteousness here. Matter of fact, I'm probably a bigger sinner than Lou. And I think Lou and I can go into a half-hour discussion of who's the bigger sinner. Right, Lou?
I don't even want to go there. Oh, man. Yeah.
The things that I've done is detestable.
Right?
In my 50 years on earth. Yet God's grace is magnified. And his mercy endures forever. Right. Look, man. Hey, Lou, you got to tell these people, no matter what you've done, God can still deliver you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's the one thing that puts you in onus, that puts you in a bad spot? You know, the one sin that you're like, I'm screwed.
Well, I would say, taking a life.
I say blaspheming the Holy Ghost.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I get where you're going with that. Yeah, blaspheme the Holy Ghost. There is no forgiveness. That's it.
That's right. You can hear people. Now, look, man, I'm going to tell you straight out, Lou. I have not murdered anybody. Praise be to the Most High. But, I mean, so you can sit and say, yeah, oh, Robbie Rob, are you trying to tell me that Charles Manson can actually get to heaven? Yeah. If he didn't blaspheme the Holy Ghost, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you one testimony.
Yeah.
In a church, Detroit. Kid was 26 years old. Young as a buck. All kind of stamina. Preacher in this Detroit church. Sent a guy in the fifth row. The Holy Ghost wants you to come home tonight. Nobody responded. He goes, guy in the fifth row in the center section, you feel it pulling on your heart. The Holy Ghost wants you to go home tonight. No response. Guy in the fifth row, now you're talking prophetic, five seats in from the center in the fifth row, in the center aisle. Holy Ghost was calling you tonight. Finally, the guy had no choice but to stand up.
Right.
He said, take your Holy Ghost, your Jesus, take your God. He was a drug dealer. He says, and stick it where the sun doesn't shine.
Right.
I'm out of here. And he blew himself out the center aisle, blew open the front doors of that church, and as soon as he got out, he was so mad, he walked past the sidewalk, got into the street, and got hit by a car, and died that minute.
Wow.
You don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Why?
No.
He's your resurrection power. What rose Jesus from the dead? The Holy Ghost.
Yep.
Notice, he's the one we don't praise. He's the one we don't worship. He's the one we don't talk to. When you try to worship the Holy Ghost, it kind of feels kind of weird. Let's be honest, dude. Give me your testimony on that. Have you ever worshipped the Holy Ghost?
I don't know. I've expressed praise for the Holy Ghost, but not worship. Does that make sense?
Does it feel weird when you do it? Is your spirit out of... Does it feel weird? That's all I'm asking.
Well, I think if it feels, you know, weird or odd, because we have it so ingrained in us that it's praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, and we don't take the Trinity as separate, you know. We can praise God, we can praise Jesus, we can praise the Holy Ghost. So yeah, you're right. It does feel a little weird.
All right, so let's go to Genesis, the beginning of creation. Right? We know, according to John, the book of John, that Jesus is the Word. He was the Word, and the Word became flesh and blood among us.
Right.
And I'm giving you a quick synopsis. The Word became flesh and blood among us. So when the Father spoke, let there be light, the words coming out of his mouth was who?
The words coming out of his mouth would have been...
In creation, would have been Jesus.
Yeah. Well,
according to John 1...
Right, in Genesis, it was
chapter 1.
Let us create, right? Am I correct in saying that?
Yep. It took the team, but what I'm saying is I'm just trying to break down the Trinity real quick.
Okay.
So the Father spoke the word, let there be light. We know, according to John chapter 1, that the Word became flesh and blood among us.
Mm-hmm.
The Father was speaking Jesus when he said, "Let there be light in the land." He was actually speaking his son.
Right.
His son did not perform the power. That unknown servant wrote those words and created light, and that's the Holy Ghost.
Okay, I got it.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So when the Holy Ghost descend upon him like a dove, the Father was not included, but the power of the Father is there in the Holy Ghost after he was baptized. And no miracles really happened prior to Jesus being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Did Jesus ever praise the Holy Ghost when he was healing all these people before he died?
I honestly can't say. I don't know. Give me the
you
answer.
Never thought about it.
Like, no, I didn't.
About it.
I didn't.
Yeah, you know, he never did. He glorified the Father in heaven.
Right, he did, yeah.
But wait a minute. The Holy Ghost has set it upon him in power. And I don't see anywhere in the Word where we need to glorify the Holy Ghost. Jesus says, after I die, I'll send a comforter to you. He'll teach you all things.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not to worship him. When we worship the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost gets praised.
Right. Right.
Here's
on.
One, and when you guys understand this, you're going to get it. Look, man. The Father and the Son are the two we recognize. The Holy Ghost cannot hear you. He only tells you what the Father says. And he does what the Father says. He does the Father's will and not yours. So if you're praying in faith to do something out of God's will and it doesn't happen, don't blame the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is doing what the Father and the Son's will are.
Right.
And there's a reason for it. That means you're missing it and not God.
Right.
But don't worship the Holy Ghost.
Makes sense.
Without Jesus dying on the cross, you'd never have the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you, dude.
No, I agree with you there.
Yes, indeed.
It's a hard pill to swallow, but when you really break it down, I never heard Jesus praise the Holy Ghost while he was
nope.
doing miracles.
No. No.
Did you hear
Father.
Paul do it? Did you hear Paul do it?
No.
How about Peter?
No. Not that I recall, no.
But I do remember this, where they turned around to the sorcerer in Acts and says, the Holy Ghost rebuke you. They initiated that power. When you're glorifying Jesus and you're glorifying the Father, you're glorifying the Holy Ghost.
Exactly.
One thing humans do is they will put the power before the source. Don't do it. The source
right.
is Jesus and the Father. The power comes through them, and that's the only way the power is coming through. Is through them, not you.
Yep.
A little
yeah.
heads up there.
No, hey, that's truth, man. It really is.
So when you're casting out, and look, man, it's a lot of people that's listening. It's going to get their first demonic person that comes up to them, and you're going to wonder if the power of the Holy Ghost is behind you. As long as you're saved, he's right there waiting.
Right.
Just give the glory to Jesus. You don't cast him out in the Holy Spirit's name. You cast him out in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Right.
Amen? I don't cast
Amen.
Him out in the Father's name. He was not the the Father was not the redemption of sin. Jesus was.
Right.
And where Jesus is, the Holy Ghost is. So we want to stay in obedience of Jesus. He's the one that allows us to go to the Father, and he's the one that allows the power of the Holy Ghost to work. He is actually the mediator, and it makes sense. Your conduit, your one way, the truth, the life, is the Son.
Right.
The Father can't look on you unless you're part of the Son, unless you're part of Jesus. And give me this. Hey, Lou, tell me this.
Yeah.
Man. How many times have you seen Muhammad cursed or Boot cursed.
Man, you never see Muhammad, Buddha cursed, Krishna cursed, you know, and nothing. It's always God or
Jesus,
you know.
Is that on purpose? Is that on purpose?
I think it is. And I think it's a strategy from hell, you know.
Look, the one the world's cursing the most is the one I want to follow.
Right.
Because you know what? We're salmon and we swim upstream.
Against the tide, always, man.
Always against the... You don't go with the flow of the world. If you're going with the flow of the world, you're in a bad minute.
No. Go against the tide, and everyone knows with exercise, you build strength, you build endurance, and when we're swimming against that stream, our faith is being built, everything, man, and we make it, man. We jump over the rocks, over the falls, and we get to that place in the end, man, where, well, I guess we lay our eggs. I don't know.
Well, the one thing we're trying to do is find that one salmon that's swimming the wrong way.
Exactly.
And get
I've
him
seen
to swim our
a
way.
Lot of dead ones, man. I've been to Alaska many, many times, and when they're, you know, swimming upstream, well, there's always those ones that end up washing back down, that, you know, that, and don't even attempt to go up the stream, you know?
I got one question for the listeners, Lou. I'd like to have your insight, because you know your listeners more than I do.
Okay.
Are you willing, men of the house, or woman of the house, is your man willing to die for you to protect your kids and you? Yes or no?
Well, in my house, yeah, I say yes.
I know you're willing.
Right.
That's a believer. The only thing he's missing is God. He's got the attributes of God.
Mm-hmm.
Satan doesn't feel that way. Satan says, give your family over.
All right, save yourself.
Save yourself.
Yeah.
You want to know a man of God? Is one who's willing to go into the fire pits and die for his faith and protect his family and say, God, if there's a way out, you're going to make it. If there's not, I'm dying in my faith and I'm not giving an inch.
Right.
General Patton for the United States Tank Army. He operated all the divisions of the tank division.
Mm-hmm.
He said, gentlemen, if we go to war, you got to get faith. I got to instill faith in you. The only faith that I know is of the creator of all, and that's God. You get this kind of faith, you're going to be like a Texas tick. And you will not quit fighting until your last breath, because you're supposed to protect your family and your kids according to God's word.
Man.
He says, are you going to be a man, and are you going to grab this faith, or are you going to be stupid? And all of them cheered and said, let's go to war. And it was the best day of war that America ever had. Under General Patton.
Under Patton, yeah.
And I press that message to every believer now in these end times. Because it ain't easy being here. But it's a glorious day to be here, because we've been chosen for times such as this, right, Lou?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm amazed. I'm amazed that, you know, I often think about it. Like, I was born, and I'm actually in a time where so many generations before me were looking for this time, and I'm in it. You know, it's I don't know, man. I'm ready, willing, and able, and whatever it takes. You know, me personally, I don't have a fear of dying. Whatever comes my way, you know, you want to take me and string me up, and want me to renounce my savior? Ain't happening. You know, it's not. I got a better life waiting for me, man. You know, but hey, man, Jesus has given me the power, man, to tread on serpents and scorpions and the enemy. So we'll just see where the war goes, man.
Well, here's the best part, Lou. The best part of you. The best part of me. The best part of the listeners. This is going to be our dance. This is going to be our war cry until the Messiah comes home. We're doing it for one.
Yep.
No glory, no fame. We're doing it for one, right, Lou?
That's it, man. That's it.
And it's worth it.
You know, when you really think about it, doing what you do, doing what I do, it's sort of like selfless. It really is. You're occupying all this time within a day devoted to that one person. You know, and you and I, we're not getting paid anything or whatever. It's not like we're, you know, I got to put my 10 hours in for Jesus today, you know, so I can get a paycheck. You know, we're doing it for the love of Christ. We're doing it for the love of humanity. Amen. And,
Amen.
Yeah, like you said, man, for one, that's it. That's it.
Lou, let me ask you this question.
24/7, man.
I got to ask you. I know I'm the one supposed to give the testimony. But I got to ask you a question.
Okay, what's the question?
I want 100% honesty.
Okay.
If you're willing to give me, I'll ask you if you're willing to give me 100. If you're going to be 100% honest, I'll ask.
That's what I strive for, man, 100%. So, shoot.
How many hours do you put in a day to put your radio shows together?
My radio shows? If you count doing stuff the night before, I don't know, maybe four hours total, you know, it's here or there. I don't know, maybe more. You know, for a 2-hour show that goes on at 10 and ends at 12, I sure do spend a lot of time. You know, it's like, oh, I got to get a new song in here. I got to do this. I got to tape this. I got to do this. And you know what? Yeah, it's consuming. That's why I don't do YouTube anymore, is because between taking what I did on the radio show and putting it on YouTube and then doing things on YouTube, I didn't have any time to go to the bathroom, you know?
Right.
So
this is why I say you got to take breaks. When I'm with you, I got to take 5 minutes. I got to find the Holy Ghost every half hour. It's what I seem to do. But
well, praise
my
God.
My point being, though, Lou, you're doing it for one.
Right.
Is a soul worth that? One soul. If you reach one person and you're putting 10 hours a day, or even 8 hours a day, or 6 hours a day for 8 weeks straight, is it worth one soul?
Yeah, absolutely.
Damn right it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
you know,
we got it. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay his life down for his friends. You know? We got it
well, right there from the man. I'm going to tell you this, Lou. I'm going to tell you this, man. Robbie Robb style.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to preach it as long as I can. And if I don't even get one, I'll go to the Father and say, man, I did everything I could to get one, bro.
And you know what?
I did everything I could, Father. I gave you everything I had to get one soul.
Amen.
The Lord's going to say, man, you got like 5,000. Come on in.
Yeah.
But we won't know until it's over, right?
Who knows, man, in times past with all the witness and testimonies, praying with people. Who knows where people are that you've come in contact with in the past, that, you know? It blows my mind. My cousin that was on, Al, last Wednesday, you know, I told
great
him about
testimony.
Jesus, you know, prayed for him, and like 20 years go by, I haven't talked to him, and all of a sudden, you know, he saved, he's preaching the gospel, he's doing, I'm like, boom, you know how they do that thing with your head, and they make believe it explodes, like poof, you know, it's like,
well, you know, that's what's funny. It's like when I look at Scott and Shauna's walk.
Yeah.
Scotty, I brought them home. That's the Lord through me. It doesn't make me anything great. But when I look at them, like, praise be to God, man.
Yeah.
You know, it
is good. I mean, it soothes your soul to actually see some fruit. But even if there wasn't, yeah, that's okay, because we're doing what we need to do. We're doing what's righteous. But it does. It, you know, when you can look at someone and go, man, because I was obedient and I opened my mouth, those people have a blessed life now. Praise God, man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah,
and that's the best part. You know, and the thing is look, we're not number counters.
No, I'm not.
You know, and you can sit and show me 500 people came home to Christ because of what I do.
Yeah.
And I always press the reset button and I do it for one.
Yeah.
Always do it for one, guys. I'm telling you how the Holy Ghost is going to move in power and in might in your life if you're constantly willing to do it for one and not for glory and not for anything else and not to be recognized. Look, man, when the Holy Ghost wants you on a show, Red Words or Robbie Robb's One Long Minute, he'll get you on.
Right.
But always remember you do it for one. Right, Lou?
Always for one. Always for one. Praise God. All right. Hey, listen, I have to let you go because you have a commitment. More hours.
Yes,
you got to get on and get your show going at 9. So, hey,
you
man.
You know what sucks, dude? I got to tell you this.
What's that?
You beat me to it, man. I was about to tell you I got to go. You beat me to the punch, man. That sucks, man.
It just goes to
Lou,
show you how much I love you, man. I'm thinking about you.
Hey, Lou, I want you to know this. I love your ministry, man, and I'll listen as much as I can and keep doing it for one.
Yeah. Well,
in Jesus'
too.
Name. And I got one to go deal with now, so I got to go do
right.
it for one. So I'll catch you in a long minute. In Jesus'
right,
name.
Bro.
I love you, Lou. Thanks, brother.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless. All right. There we go. That was Robbie Robb from TDC Channel. He's getting ready to go do his show, One Long Minute, on TDC Radio. You can go over there and check him out on blogtalk.com/TDC_radio, or just type in TDC. And he will be live shortly, And I believe he has some special guests on tonight. So I am appreciative of him taking the time to come onto the show and to give us his testimony, to give us some words of knowledge. You know, the Holy Ghost move, man, it was an awesome time, and I'm just thankful for it. I really am. So with that, we're going to wrap it up, and I appreciate you listening. Come back every Wednesday night. We'll have somebody on giving a testimony. And tomorrow morning, check in with us at 10 o'clock till 12 o'clock. That's Eastern Standard Time. We'll be going over Through the Bible in a Year. And then we will have, believe it or not, a sermon by Charles Spurgeon called The Comforter. So we were talking a little bit about the Holy Ghost being a comforter. So you want to check in for that, and we'll go through that. And we'll give you a little Spurgeon to spice up your life. How's that? All right, so that's it. So, hey, thank you for stopping by. I really appreciate you stopping on in. If you're listening, you have a testimony, and you want to get on the air and get it out there to the world, drop me an email, redwords@comcast.net. And make sure you click on the link in the episode information. I got the one long minute link there. Give that a click, and that'll bring you over to the radio show for Robbie Rob, which should be starting, in another 12 minutes or so. So until next time, for Christians like us, and you know what I'm saying, it's your host, Red Words Lou. Stay saved, man. Give God y'all in Jesus' name. Amen.